Welcome to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Joyous conversations about what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about our one reality. You have nothing to fear. You are eternal and you are perfectly loved. Knowing the truth changes everything. Now, here's Roberta.
Welcome to Seek Reality. I'm Roberta Grimes, and I'm so glad you could join us today. All of us have the latent ability to use our minds in extraordinary ways. In fact, all of us have the ability to be psychic, and oh my goodness, even that includes your host. For nearly all my life, I was happily telling people that I'm as psychic as a post. Only to learn, and this was just only 3 years ago, that every one of my books, the books I always thought I had brilliantly written on my own, I'm such a great writer, every one of them was channeled. Every one of them. It turns out, in fact, because I've tried it, that I cannot write at all. In fact, this is hard to admit. On my own, I cannot actually manage a coherent sentence that I'm happy with. But I'm used to it now, and I tell everybody that it's really not my work because I don't like to take credit for what other people do. But, you know, who knows? You might be channeling too. We all are working with spirit, just most of us are not aware of it. All right, so for many people, the primary obstacle to developing these gifts, if we're trying to do it, is the fact that we don't believe we can. You know, Jesus said this. He said, if you have as much faith as a grain of mustard seed, which is the tiniest possible seed, you can say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and the mountain will obey you. That's how powerful your mind is. But most of us don't believe that. One of the problems we have is that because most of us don't believe it, so much of what has been possible has been shut down. The world saw a heyday of mediumistic communications in the late 19th and early 20th centuries, and these very gifted folks were physical mediums, deep trance mediums. The things they were able to do boggle our mind. And they had developed their gifts during the 19th century by sitting in the dark for years, gradually developing those gifts. When I first began to do this research, the core of the evidence I found was books and books of wonderful communications through deep trance mediums, something that almost doesn't exist today. Actually, the 20th century and all its busyness and electronic confusion killed the development of deep trance mediums and of other kinds of physical mediums. But wonderfully, in this new century, interest in the more advanced and amazing forms of mediumship is reviving. And once again, people are sitting in development circles, and you and I are privileged to watch their progress. Our guest today is a terrific young developing physical medium who is the protege of our own great friend, Dr. R. Craig Hogan. Rob Blackburn is a junior high school teacher by day. By night, he is on the leading edge of this wonderful new movement. Rob, I'm thrilled you're with us. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you, Roberta. It's an absolute thrill to be on your show.
Rob and I have met personally and we've talked about these things, but most people who are listening now really have no idea about any of this. So we're going to spend a little time talking with Rob about how he got involved and what's been happening in his life as a result. What got you interested in this to begin with, Rob?
Well, as a child, I believed I lived in a haunted world. You know, the movies and television that I was watching and the media that I participated in was filled with sort of supernatural ideas. But they were disconnected, right? And to me, it seemed like there were things watching, but that I could not see. I had this sense of always being surrounded. I had no idea, no training, no understanding. So that's kind of my mindset as a child. I also got very, very sick when I was about 4 years old and I was in the hospital. My mother tells me that it was touch and go for 2 weeks.
Wow.
Came very close to death. And I don't know if that has anything to do with what took place after, but perhaps I touched something on the other side or who knows? It wasn't quite a near-death experience, although I don't quite know. They're both passed away now. Both my parents are passed away. And really, that's when my mother passed in 2001 and my father passed in 2004. It was after the death of my father that I started to seriously investigate the afterlife. And I started to work with EVP, The first recording I ever made was at my father's condo. I was an executor of his estate, and so I was taking care of the things there. And I started to record, and the first recording I made, I record my mother's voice, clear as a bell.
Oh, my. Mm-hmm. Oh. All right. To explain to everybody, EVP means electronic voice phenomena. Mm-hmm. And it's obvious you have psychic gifts then. So do you have people in your history, ancestors who were psychics? Are you aware of any of that?
Well, my grandmother would be able to tell who was calling before the phone rang.
Okay.
You know, that sort of thing. But nobody that I know that was developed. My father, and I'm trying to, and I'd love to talk to my living aunts and uncles about this. But my father told me stories when he was a child that he had a relative come. And this relative would sit with them. And this would have been in the 1930s. Sit with them. And he would demonstrate objects moving around the room. Like he mentioned there was a fireplace poker that would lift up and bounce about the room.
And oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm. And this this terrified my grandfather, and because
of course
they were devout Seventh-day Adventists. And so when this
oh dear. Mm-hmm,
so that didn't last too, I don't think his visits last too long. But that's a sort of an apocryphal story that comes out of my father's side. So it's possible that, you know, the genes are there for it.
One of the things we are learning is that indeed it tends to be something, this sort of unusually strong psychic ability does seem to run in Brennan families. But so you were already interested in this. Mm-hmm. You were going along with your life. How did you ever meet Craig Hogan?
Well, after doing EVP research and I kind of did this in isolation. I didn't really reach out to anybody. It was the early 2000s. There were people that were posting stuff online and whatnot, but I was kind of going on my own. So after doing that for a few years and learning what I could from the spirit contacts that I was making, I reached out to the Spiritualist Church in Leroy in Illinois. And there I made contact with some individuals that knew Craig Hogan, who had been setting up these meeting groups. One of the meeting groups that he was setting up was a physical mediumship group. And I thought, wow, well, what is this, you know?
Yeah,
and so,
right.
And so there were a lot of us. There were something like 30 of us that all sat in his old house in Normal, Illinois, upstairs in the place that he designated for it. And we sat. And we got immediate results. But then Craig thought, well, we need to put some checks on these results that we're getting. And so he did. And the numbers diminished because people were excited to do it. But then you always get people falling away. It reduced itself to about eight or nine people. And then I was a consistent sitter. And so that was the first physical experimental circle that I sat with. And this would have been, I believe, back in 2008 or 2009.
Right.
And yeah. So he, you know, I stuck with the circle. I was just a sitter, you know, I was just interested in experiencing that kind of spirit contact. So it was really
And once a week you were doing this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Once a week. It was like another Saturday or Sunday or something along those lines, but we sat for once a week.
Right.
And that's what began the journey into physical mediumship. You know,
okay, so explain to people what these circles, because they're thinking sitting in circles. You sit on chairs in a room designated for this.
Mm-hmm.
And is it dark or are the light very subdued?
Well, you know, Craig, as you know, is a traditionalist, right? He's a purist.
Yes.
He's a purist. And so
right. The
conditions that we sat in were very much the conditions that the people would have sat in back in the 19th century. It was
right.
It was completely dark. With the exception of the electronic music that we play. Now, what is demanded of the sitters is to sing. We must all sing at a high volume.
Mm-hmm.
And so we all we play the music. And so you're not supposed to be quiet. You're supposed to sing and then allow spirit to work, you know, make that contact. So you just sit and sing for an hour or an hour and a half. And that's what
tell people why the singing. Tell people why.
Well, it's really a mystery. I know Wendy Zammit she once mentioned that she thinks it has something to do with the sound waves themselves. But I think it also, that might be the case, you know, energy like that. But it also helps bring harmony amongst the sitters.
I think that's what I would recommend. Mm-hmm. I would think that's more likely to be the reason, because we have all these disparate energies in the room, and in order for them really to become powerful, they need to become more and more united. Mm-hmm. One of the things we know is that the more elevated beings are, the more they work in groups. And so I think it may be partly the result, the fact that it's an energy you're producing, but I think the harmony of the energy is very important. Well, that's exciting. So you go into this room, you sit in a circle, you say, how do you do to everybody? Then you turn off the lights and you sing for an mm-hmm. hour. Well, how hard could that
be? It really is. It's not hard at all, right?
were you focusing on, we're trying to call in spirits? Did you ever try to talk to the spirits in those early days?
Yeah. So, you know, one of the protocol is that you're not supposed to necessarily go off on your own little tangent, right? You're supposed to sit and be as open as possible. But, you know, that's difficult for people, because as you're sitting there singing, you know, you can do two things at once. So you'll be thinking to yourself, you'll be calling out to the spirits, you'll be sort of distracted. You'll have strange sensations. You won't know if it's a real sensation, like if you're hungry or you have a tingle in your stomach or whether you were touched. You never know, right? And so
right. So
it takes a bit, I think, of sitting. It takes people to sit, and I would suggest, you know, anywhere between, well, you could sit by yourself if you like, but it would be better in groups, obviously. So you want to sit no more than 10 people. I mean, you get more and more people, it might become more of a distraction, but you could have as many as you like. But you want to train yourself to really kind of be open to spirit. You want to be open. You don't want to be reaching out on your own agenda. You don't want to be asking for anything. It's really a communion, a celebration. You're singing like you would in a crowd, you know, like you're all joyously together. You feel that connectedness. That's where you need to be.
Well, this is fun. Now, what we're doing today is we're listening to Rob Blackburn talk about home circles, and which is something anybody can do. That you've been doing this for 9 years then, something like that, right? Routinely, just every week. It's part of your routine. Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. You said last segment that we were that early on you got some results, even when you were in a bigger group. What were the first things that happened?
Well, Craig immediately wanted to kind of put a clamp down on any possible inadvertent, maybe even subconscious movement of the table. But our first sitting, when we had 30 some people there, we had table tipping. Now, the people that were there were experienced table tippers, so it's very possible that Spirit moved, their own team moved very easily through those people and caused the table tipping. But Craig wanted to make sure that there was a check on that. And so he wanted to make sure people's hands where they were supposed to be and all of that kind of thing. And he put a little glow tape of various places to make sure everything was authentic as possible. When he instituted those changes, some people just weren't interested in that kind of level of scrutiny. And so they left. But I mean, they've had plenty of wonderful results at the Leroy Church. And so very experienced people were at that church. So we're not downing them at all. But Craig wanted a far more controlled environment. And so that's what. So the early results there, because that group lasted for about 2 years, 2 to 3 years. And then members dissolved away. And new groups emerged. So it wasn't always the same group. So we didn't have a cohesive circle that's been sitting. I've been there the entire time for the most part. There was a small period of time where I wasn't there, maybe a matter of a few months when I wasn't sitting. But the current circle that we have, the circle that has been sitting now for 3 years, has been the same people. And that's such a rare thing. I mean,
yes.
Scott Milligan, the physical medium, which we'll talk about later, he says, you know, it's a physical medium is rare, but people that you can get to sit in a physical circle consistently over the years is even more a rare thing.
Yes. So this then just continued. What were the next things that happened in terms of communicating with spirit or actions
sure,
by spirit?
Sure. Well, I'll just mention some things that are pretty consistent through the entire, all the years that I've been sitting. You will feel touches. You will feel drops, feel like water dropping on your face. You will feel vibrations in your chair, on the table. You will hear voices out of nowhere. The music, whatever music device that you're using may be changed or turned off or messed with in some way. You will hear cracks and bangs and what sounds like moving furniture. You will see beams of light potentially. I mean, we've seen that. I mean, we've seen all manner of phenomena over the years, but it's only been in the last 3 years where we've had consistent phenomena wherever we've been able to make consistent contact with our team. Before that, it was touch and go. What's going on? We felt this, we saw that, but it wasn't all in one place for us, right? We didn't feel like we had contact with the team like we have now.
Now let's talk about what a team is. There are a lot of beings, not in bodies, who would love to help people develop their abilities. For them, it's difficult. They've got to spend a lot of effort helping us develop, those of us who are trying to do what Rob is doing. And so your team then got stronger and more positively able to work with you over the years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, Craig had a vision in early on that what he would start there would be like a fire, right? A fire that would spread. So,
yes.
he had a vision for that. And you know, this vision is slowly happening, you know. So the early phenomena was soon replaced once we had this cohesive circle that's been sitting for a number of years. I went into the cabinet. Craig built a cabinet. I went into the cabinet. The sitters are on the outside of you know, around a table, and that would be Craig and Sally and Vicky. And then from that point on, the phenomena that we heard and saw continued. But then we had contact with the team. So this primarily happened through Vicky. Now, Vicky is a very, very strong clairvoyant mental medium. And she is the one that they used to communicate primarily. The other ones, of course, are used, but Vicky primarily for contact with the team.
Now, did she go into trance, or was she just saying, oh, I'm getting this message? How did she communicate it?
Yeah. Right. So it would be great if we had something like trance mediums, right?
Yes.
But that would be awesome. But spirit will go the way of least resistance, right? Whatever might be easiest for them. Now, what they did is that since Vicky was such a strong clairvoyant, they would give her messages, which, by the way, traditionally speaking, you're not supposed to use mental mediumship in a physical circle.
Really?
Now, this is... Yeah. You were supposed to try to stay away from the mental mediumship and let the phenomena speak for itself. But this sort of breaks tradition. And we didn't mind because, again, this is an experimental circle. And so they would give her a message. And usually is something not very complex. It would be a simple message. Usually, and these messages are usually one of unity and harmony and support. And sometimes they're people that come through that are communicating through her. But then here's the thing. I mean, it'd be one thing if it was just her mental mediumship, right? But it's not just that. We have to have a validating aspect to the mental mediumship. So as she delivers her message and she says, the team wants to tell us that we are in harmony, and they give us usually a metaphor for that. And it will be something comical, something fun. And then the table will knock. So we will hear large knocks on the table after she delivers her message, so as to validate that that's what the team is conveying to us.
Oh, how much fun this is. It must be, you must look forward to this every week. Now, please explain to people why you started to sit in this enclosed booth, this cabinet. Why is that necessary?
Well, there was some indication of ectoplasm early on, and so I was prompted to sit in the cabinet. So, I had the intuition, and supported by Craig, to sit in the cabinet for the development, so the energy can build within the cabinet, so the team could not only develop those that are sitting on the outside, but also develop myself in the cabinet.
So that's how it kind of, please explain what ectoplasm is, because people are scratching their heads again.
Sure. Well, it's sort of a mysterious kind of substance, but I can just simply say it is a biological material that exuded from the medium's body, empowered by energy of some kind from spirit and potentially the earth as well. So it could be a confluence of energies that is animating a physical substance that's coming out of the human body. And as they animate the substance, they can do various things with it. They can move objects, they can form complex biological systems which allow for communication. They can cover cover an etheric body, a spirit body, if you will, with this ectoplasmic substance, and literally give life to this being. So they can, in a sense, give life in a biological sense. These people can manifest in the room. Now, we don't have this phenomena yet, but this is a known and tested phenomena amongst, right. you know, historically, that these people can have a pulse, they can have hair, they can have in every way seem like a human in every way. The substance is really only limited by the imagination of the team itself. And of course, the teams are those that are directing all of the work. And the teams call in specialists in order to help facilitate all of this phenomena.
In every case, when people are working with spirit, the people in spirit are the ones who call the shots. This whole ectoplasm also seems to remain a part of the body of the medium. And one of the reasons the darkness has been so important is that it tends to react negatively to light, especially sunlight. I think it's important for people to understand that. But one of the things that people are beginning to do who are mediums and are developing is use more light. Just because darkness seems suspicious to, you know, people who don't know what's going on. Have you started to think about using light too?
Well, in the past, we've messed around with red light. And it's interesting, if you're just sitting and it's an energy circle, and we can differentiate between energy and ectoplasm, although I think they're intimately tied together in its own, in a development. But you could put the red light on if you're sitting, and you can see a lot more of the phenomena that's energy sort of phenomena that's going on. That's fine. But I believe almost every one of the mediums of the past, the deep trance mediums or the physical mediums, started in the dark.
So yeah, I think so too. Yep.
So I'm all for sitting in the dark. I was asked to sit in the dark by the team. I was asked to sit in the dark. So that's what I'm doing. You know, I'm going to be prompted.
Yes. Yeah. It's easier for them to do it. I think it's amazing what you have done in such a short period of time. I mean, some of these people have sat for 20 years, the first mediums. And then when they came out of their circles, they were doing wonderful things. But you've come so far so fast. So clearly you had abilities.
Well, it's everybody in the circle and the team is contributing to all of that. You know, I mean, as for the ectoplasmic phenomena, that's only happening more recently because as I'm in the cabinet, I've had, especially the last few months, even much more indication of them moving the ectoplasm out of my body. I'm conscious at the time. If you could believe it, it's like I'm aware of it happening and it feels really weird. And it does. It feels very weird. So the most dramatic example was I was pressing them and pressing them because I'm in there and I do go in and out of, consciousness. So there are times where I have no memory of what's past and other times I do. And so it kind of comes in and out. But in this one particular time, I think it was in December, this last December, I asked them for some evidence that the ectoplasm was moving out. Well, what they did is they moved it out of my nose and hit me lightly on the cheek several times. Yeah. To show me were doing it. Yeah. So, you know, I'm like, okay, all right, that's what's happening.
And I'd like to just take a little detour before we go back to talking with him about his own process. Because I know, Rob, you just got back from the Banyan Center in the United Kingdom and that Sanders Champlain was there too. Can you tell us about that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it was an amazing experience. The event that I went to was called Whispers from the Soul. And it was a lecture workshop training event. So there were a number of us there, I think over 30 people. I mean, I could go on and on and on about how wonderful the energy is there, how beautiful the people are, how open. Nick and Steven, who run Banyan, are amazing people. If anybody has a chance, if they can get over there, do it and participate in one of these events. Scott Milligan is the medium, the physical medium that works with them and works very closely with them. He is from a long line of English physical mediums. He's sort of carrying on. He and David Thompson both are kind of they're carrying on the English tradition of physical mediumship, much like we saw in Leslie Flint. They're developing, Scott's developing there. He has his home circle nearby, about an hour and a half away in England. And he demonstrates at Banyan. And what he demonstrated that weekend, that Easter weekend, was just absolutely phenomenal.
Absolutely. Wow. Okay, so let's talk about, Banyan is very old, right? It's been there for quite a long time. And it's been doing... working with mediums, I think, for a long time. I've never been there. I really know very little about it.
Yeah, I think Banyan, I don't know how long the facility's been there, but I know Nick and Stephen have been running it for a while, probably since the 2006, 2007. I could be wrong. You could look, one could look that up online. But they are, they're both gifted people, and I believe both are mediums. Stephen is a Qigong master, I believe, and he does training in that, moving the energy through your body in that regard. But what they do really is they offer a unique opportunity for people to come and learn about physical mediumship. They have people from the Arthur Findlay College come in and do lectures and do workshops. And so it's really a unique chance for people to go and learn from people that are carrying on training and traditions that go back to the 19th century.
Yes. And so you sat with Scott Milligan. Can you talk about that? What was that like?
Well, he did two seances, and the second seance is the seance that I was an independent checker. So I was the one, along with my friend Dan, who I met at Banyan, who's just a super great guy. He has a PhD, and he works in the earth sciences. So he was somewhat skeptical, but in a healthy way. And so he and I were both checkers, and so we would check the straps and make sure that Scott was where he's supposed to be. I mean, the phenomena that we witnessed was amazing. So we had independent voice. There were musical instruments and other objects that moved around the room. There were children's hands. So children came in and they were playing with the toys and we saw their little hands. Yeah, it was in the dark. There was no red light or anything like that. But they had these like whiteboards that had instead of being white, they had a glow to them. So they're glow in the dark plaques, and the children walked around with these and then showed it to us, and we could see their little hands holding these plaques. We were touched. We had communication from his control, Daniel, who is Daniel's funny because Daniel will come across as being, I'm just a worker. I'm just this ordinary, guy who's helping Scott out, whatever. But I think Daniel, like Mickey, they are Mickey, which was Leslie Flint's control, are yes. actually quite advanced beings. And so they're
yes.
They're putting on this air of simplicity, but really they're not that simple at all. But so Daniel would speak and answer questions. Other people came through, other beings that work with Scott came through to answer questions from the sitters. I mean, the phenomena was amazing, and the whole atmosphere was very joyful. The place is like a temple. It's like a sacred space. It really,
yes.
Like you would go into a cathedral, or you go into a place that you know is sort of a sacred space and you can feel it, and that's how Banyan is. Banyan is a sacred space.
Now, were these direct voice communications you were getting, like there was a voice box created by ectoplasm and so on, or did they come directly from Scott, or where did the voices come from?
Well, Scott, it would go back and forth. So they would move the ectoplasm out, and it would speak through the ectoplasmic voice boxes, and Scott would also be, they would, I guess, recede back in.
And Scott would speak. You could hear him, not Scott, it would be Daniel, speaking from the cabinet. So it would be, it would go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. We had a singer and come through, and it was Judy Garland came through.
Really? Mm-hmm. Really? That's fun.
Yeah. She sang, and it was unearthly loud. It was. So when she spoke through the voice box, what she was doing was stretching the voice box. She was, that's her job, to stretch it. And so she used her phenomenal voice to stretch the voice box. And when she did, she sang, but it was like this ethereal female voice that you just could, you know, you can't hardly describe.
And was any of this recorded so people know what was going on?
Absolutely, it was recorded, right. So they have the recordings. They try, you know, I've requested the seance as well as the trance mediumship session that was done with Scott on one of the other days. And so I wanted to, because I asked a number of questions to Daniel during the trance sitting, and when Daniel came through and was answering questions for us, and that was done in light, that was done in the main sitting room, you
wow.
know, the seminar room, and so he very much like how David Thompson went into trance
yes.
at that symposium a few years
yes.
ago and was able to speak to the audience. It was very much like that, and that was very enlightening. He answered. It's amazing. I had three questions for him, just in case nobody else had enough questions, right? Like,
yeah.
like that was going to happen. But I'm overprepared. And he answered my question and then went and answered my next question, which he had no idea, like he should not have known.
It.
That next,
yes.
Mm-hmm. So he flowed because Daniel probably knew that he wouldn't be able to get back to another question of mine because I'm not going to try to, you know, I'm not going to, you know, make sure that I'm the only one asking
right.
questions. You know, he wants everybody else to get a shot. So he went ahead and answered the very next question that I had on my list. So,
oh my goodness.
Yeah.
And so, but were you inspired by this whole experience? I mean, you must have been. It must have been very exciting for you to be there and see what was possible for a more advanced physical medium.
Yeah, and I'll just tell your listeners, and even though it's a very personal thing, you know, even though I've been developing for years now with with the team and with the circle, and they're developing, and I've in a way kind of kept them at the team at arm's length, you know, in a sense. Like I thought to myself, listen, I'm an individual. I want to choose who comes
right.
through. I want to control some of this, what's going on. And my revelation when I was sitting there learning how to sit in the power in the English tradition, which is very much like blending. Suzanne Geisman will talk about the blending, very much like that in a sense. So you know, you're sitting, I was sitting in the power. And it just came to me to like let all of that go.
Yes.
Let that sense of sovereignty, that sense of I need to be in some control of this, go. And when I did, it really opened up the door to an acceptance of being an instrument to be used by Spirit.
What a beautiful thing to say. I'm so happy for you. I mean, let me just say to everybody listening, the greatest joy there is finally yielding to Spirit, because Spirit loves us more than we could ever love ourselves. And to allow ourselves to be used as Rob is allowing himself to be used is really the greatest, don't you think, the greatest joy there is?
It really is, because when I accepted that, all of these fears dissolved away.
Yes.
All of these convoluted sort of restrictions that I put on myself, all of these doubts just dissolved away. And my ownership of all of it also went away. You know,
that's
so,
right.
So, you know, it's like whatever they want me to do, I'll do, you know, that's kind of where I was at with that.
It's beautiful. And it's this, I tell everybody, give your life to God. It's what you, which is what you just did there. You just gave your life to Spirit. What a beautiful thing. Now, Rob, Craig has been telling me that Spirit is transforming your bodies. What's it doing and why?
That's a fascinating question. You know, they've come through and told us through Vicky with confirmation from the knocking on the table and the phenomena that's taking place, that they are transforming us, they say, on a molecular level. So what that means and is still a mystery to us, although every one of us has felt these changes. And these changes are, I'd imagine, honestly, I'd imagine that this is something that teams do. I'm imagining that in order to facilitate the phenomena, they have to make these biological changes. That's just a guess on my part. But they are transforming us to be instruments to help, I'm imagining, facilitate their work. So every one of us is developing. So I'm in the cabinet doing the ectoplasm thing. The sitters are working their clairvoyance and their light trances and semi light trances. There's indication that one of the sitters might be developing into a trance medium, they are transforming us. I think they're experimenting on what they can do with us. And 'cause this circle is really just a launch pad.
Yes.
They're going to transform us and then move us out to perhaps form other circles and help develop those sitters and so on and so forth.
What are they doing to your bodies, though? You said you have some sense of these changes. What's happening?
They are psychological. They are emotional. I'll give you an example as a byproduct of the sitting. The next couple days after I sit in the cabinet, I could be very tired, worn out, that kind of thing. So it does seem to have an effect on the body, the transformation. I guess a greater sensitivity and a greater awareness. Our psychical abilities have increased. We're able to perceive things, just psychically, pick up on things, pick up on people. But then even mediumistically, I am a clairaudient, so I'm able to hear spirit and not a very strong clairvoyant, but my clairvoyance has gotten stronger. Objects, knocks and lights and things around my own house have increased in number. So the phenomena seems to be increasing just, outside the circle. And so everyone is getting stronger at their whatever gifts they have seem to be stronger.
That's exciting. So the people that are working with you in that circle really are committed as you are, or do you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Anne and Sally and Vicky and Craig they're 125% in. The only thing that stops them from coming a particular night would be some kind of emergency or something that was set up long beforehand, like a family commitment of some kind that they can't get out of. Right.
One of the things I asked Craig was, you have so many people in your one little circle who are developing real gifts. How did you do that? He said he didn't. He said spirit brought all of you together. And I can see,
that's right.
I can see that must be true. Very exciting. Now, if people are listening and they're thinking, I might like to try that, how would they get started? What would you suggest?
Well, I would suggest that they find people, people they trust, people like best friends, people that they are already have deep harmony with. Strangers might be may take a little more time unless you have immediate kismet with them, immediate connection. But I would find people that you trust and that you love, and you sit and you play music, sit in a dark room. You can even have the red light on, whatever, but you could sit and play music, have it on have it on your whatever device you want to use. It really doesn't matter what device you use. And just sing. Sit and sing. And don't be distracted. Just, do anything else other than celebrate the fact that you're there and wanting to connect with spirit. It's the simplest thing you could do. Again, though, it takes a little bit of training not to be, interested in your own contact and want your own thing, right? But you got to sit in joyous communion with spirit. Just sit and the people that are there. Sit and sing, because spirit's already there. They're already there. Your team is already there. Their loved ones are already there, and they're loving the connection. So it's the one thing that really rings a bell with me and helps me connect is the overwhelming love that comes from the other side. And maybe that's hard for all of us to kind of grasp, that kind of unconditional love. But it does exist, and it's there for people to connect with. If you can connect harmony in your circle with people that are sitting and connect to that unconditional love in joy and in surrender, then and it's just a matter of time before phenomena takes place.
Okay, what kind of music is best?
I would suggest sometimes the teams, they figure out like what would like work harmoniously with, but whatever music you can sing, I would stay away from heavier music, you know, stay away from a lot of horns too. Horns don't seem to work out, didn't work out with our circle. They stayed away from that. They went more acoustic, more R&B acoustic music, but it could vary with every circle. Now, the English tradition is singing a cappella. So they would sing old ditties, you know, You Are My Sunshine, you know, What Do You Do With a Drunken Sailor, that song. They all of these old songs that like that they know, they would sing. And that I think might be the best way to go.
Well.
So you could have some recorded music, but also intersperse it with some a cappella stuff, kind of like go back and forth. And see what happens. The a cappella stuff where you're just singing it really helps you get your mind off your own thing, right? You're singing, you're not really thinking, you're singing, and you're singing with everybody, and it's a great harmony builder. So I would go with that.
And another thing people might do if there's a spiritualist church nearby is to see whether there are people there who also want to form a circle, because which is how you got started. I mean, people mm-hmm. who are already interested in these things and may already have some psychic gifts might be good additions to the circle. But, you know, Craig would say, start with more people than you need. I mean, you have like 5 or 6 now who are really solid, but you started with 30. You start with more, people will drop off, but people can be added too as long as they're simpatico. And I guess the important thing we want to say is this doesn't happen right away. This is not a parlor trick. You're developing abilities that are natural in people, but that are very, very hard to develop, and spirit has to do it with and for you. So you're on spirit time, which means that it won't happen within a few months, may not happen within a few years, but if you keep doing it, they will find a way to make it happen.
That's
you.
Right. They'll do things that'll encourage you along the way. They'll give you little tidbits of interesting things that they'll do. You know, whether it's a voice or a knock or light shows, things like that, to encourage the sitters, because they know our attention spans are so ridiculously low, you know, or small, you know, in this day and age. So yeah, and I would also suggest with these circles that you have people that are committed. If you are trying to run a circle and you have people coming in and out all the time, it will, every time somebody new comes in or every time somebody leaves, they have to reset. So if you start a circle, make sure that you are that the people that are going to be there that are committed. Otherwise, you're going to be kind of setting yourself back.
It'll be frustrating.
Yep.
And if people are sincere about this, Craig Hogan is ready to help.
Oh, yeah.
Now, is there a specific website that they should contact him through?
They could go to any one of his, he has several websites, and the AREI website probably would be the best place to go, just in terms of getting information about circles. I don't know the website right offhand, but if you go to the Afterlife or AREI website, you can find it.
If you have trouble finding Craig Hogan, contact me through robertagrimes.com. I'll just forward your email to him. Rob, it's been so good to have you here. Thank you so much. And we will have you back in a few months or whenever anything new comes up, because people are going to want to watch your progress. Everyone, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. I'm so glad you were with us today. This is exciting. Never forget that you are a powerful, eternal being. You never began and you never will end. And when you really understand what that means, it's going to change everything in your life for the better. Next week, we're going to be talking with the noted medium, John Holland. He's written a new book called Bridging Two Realms that is extremely timely, because as we've seen this week, it's possible to develop into someone who has a major ability to communicate with spirit in various ways. But what if you just want to get in touch with your loved ones and stay in touch? His new book is a wonderful tool for that. So please join us next week, and let's talk about how each of us can begin to develop our communication gifts just for our own use. As you know, my books are Liberating Jesus, My Thomas, The Fun of Dying, The Fun of Staying in Touch, The Fun of Growing Forever, The Fun of Living Together, and for children, The Fun of Meeting Jesus. You can find them all on Amazon.com and as audiobooks, except the children's book. And if you ever want to contact me, just go to RobertaGrimes.com. I answer every email, unless you forget to give me the right email address. So if you haven't heard from me after you contacted me, then just try again, because I do answer every email. Meanwhile, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Please enjoy and make the most of this coming week in our one reality, knowing that you are, in particular, a powerful, eternal being, and you are infinitely loved.
You've been listening to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Roberta blogs and answers questions at robertagrimes.com. Join us every week as we explore what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about the one reality we all share. Knowing the truth changes everything.